Good Monday afternoon to you. I'm Kathy Lewis. Readers of the print edition of the Virginian Pilot might notice a few changes starting today. Some sections have been relocated and others combined, and those changes come after extended conversations with readers about their experience with a daily newspaper whose industry is facing a rapidly changing business environment. We'll talk through those issues today with the editor and with the publisher of the Virginian Pilot, and we'll walk through the paper's new look as we consider the challenges of operating a regional paper in the 21st century. All that, along with your calls, after this news from NPR. Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. Great to be with you on a Monday afternoon in Hampton Roads. It sounds like this is going to be the coolest of the days this week, but you know, it is, after all, mid-June, so I think this is very seasonal, what we'll be having a little bit later this week, and we're glad to have you with us today. We're especially glad to have two of the leaders of the Virginian Pilot joining us in the studio today, because the Pilot has undergone some changes that you may have noticed this morning if you are fortunate enough to be served by the print edition of the Virginian Pilot. Some changes underway this morning. They are changes that have been evolutionary in nature in a business that has changed so much. We're at 7 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. If you have noticed the changes and have a thought about them, do let us know. We're, again, at 7 minutes past the hour. I'm glad to have Dave Mealy with us today, the publisher of the Virginian Pilot. Good to have you here today.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
So, and Dennis Fenley is with us as well, the editor of the Virginian Pilot.
Thanks, Kathy.
You bet. And timing, as they say, my friend, is everything. And we were talking just before we went on the show about, what did you say, Dave, that newspaper revenue peaked in
2006.
And you started as editor in 2005,
That's
Dennis.
That's correct. It's all my fault.
We're blaming it all on Dennis Fenley.
That's how it is. But boy, what a time to be in the... I mean, I look at the last 9 or 10 years, and you have really been at the helm under a period of tremendous change at this paper, but that change certainly being mirrored in the industry across the country.
Tremendous change across the entire industry. We no longer have a newspaper, we have a news organization, we have websites, we have a tablet app, we have phones. Who would imagine that 10 years ago, who would imagine that we would be getting so much information off of a phone?
Right.
So things, we're in the middle of a revolution, information revolution, and it's really just begun, and we're trying to navigate it. It's pretty tough.
It's roller coaster. It really, really is. Yeah. So Dave, you're the publisher. That means you're in charge. Dennis sort of manages the editorial piece of that, which is no small feat. You manage more of the business end of this operation. So tell us about some of the imperatives you were faced with.
Well, certainly in the evolution, we're experiencing both audiences shifting their usage and advertisers shifting where they spend their money to reach a consumer. So that's really fragmentation on two levels. One is the reader using multiple sources of media. And again, not to the exclusion of print. I mean, but it would be interesting to talk about some of the print metrics, because the print readership is still very, very large in this market, in most metropolitan markets. But what we see is that increasingly more and more people are adding digital, and some people are going digital only for their consumption. So that is a business challenge, because advertising revenue tends to follow the reader.
Right.
So if readers are increasingly adding digital platforms, advertisers want to follow them and reach them. Now, we have ways to do that. So Pilot Online, HamptonRoads.com, and we help advertisers with search engine marketing and social media marketing and a wide variety of digital services. but the dollar exchange is not equal. So a dollar in print, there's a kind of a rule of thumb in the industry that a dollar in print becomes a dime in digital.
Wow.
That isn't the case for us. It's not the case in this market, but it does become something a good bit less
than
a dollar.
I was going to say, but it has to be a dollar for that to really work.
That's right. So the math really is not favorable when a dollar moves from print to digital. So what we have is a scenario where advertisers are shifting their marketing mix. So they're still advertising in the newspaper.
Right.
But what they're doing is they're taking some of that money and advertising on other platforms. Increasingly, those are digital. What that means, though, is we still have many of the fixed expenses of running our business and publishing that daily newspaper, including our outstanding journalists who generate the content, our delivery force who delivers 130,000 to 160,000 per day.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Across the region, 7 days a week, more than the post office.
Right.
And then the paper that it takes to make up the paper. So
basically, your primary expenses, if I can reduce it to its elementally ridiculous, is paper and people, right?
It really is.
I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, so, if you put them in order, people and paper.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so the paper you can kind of adjust and manage. At least that seems to be what's behind some of these changes
that
we're talking about.
Yeah.
Today.
So what we want to do is we really do not want to reduce the people side of our business. We want to have as many journalists covering Hampton Roads and all of the areas that we do. As you know, and I'm sure many of the listeners know, we have gotten smaller in the last few years. So we are a smaller newsroom today than we were last year and the years before that. But we want that to be a last resort for us. So we do look at other ways that we can be more efficient with our resources. And paper being such a large expense for us is one of those. So what our subscribers and readers are seeing today is a change that we're rolling out to combine the front section, or what we call main, with B section or Hampton Roads. So for years and years, those sections have been separate. Interestingly, they back in the day, originally they were together. So in some ways,
we're going back to our
roots. But what we're doing is we're putting the front A section together, combining it with Hampton Roads. Very importantly, we aren't eliminating the Hampton Roads section. What we're doing is we're combining it. So we're not taking any news out of the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So there are some efficiencies that you gain when you run one, and I don't want to get too technical, but the reality is we can run sections and increase in 4-page counts and 2-page counts. So let's say we have enough news and enough advertising for a 9-page section. You can't do that. You have to go to a 10, or more likely, because of what the press needs, a 12-page section.
Uh-huh.
So what we have had with a 2-section structure is we've had to fill some space, and we haven't been as efficient as we can be in a combined section. So what we will do, and what we've rolled out today, is we're putting those 2 sections together and not taking a word of local news out of the newspaper.
And you essentially, and Dennis, I know that you all ran the numbers and the test on this as a practical matter.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last month or so, you've taken the additions where you've had the 2 sections and said, how would we have done this internally differently if we were to do 1 section?
Correct.
And how did that work out?
Well, we discovered, first of all, as David was saying, we eliminated some of the inefficiencies of the printing press. Mm-hmm. The paper that we used as an example had 20 pages in it, 12 pages in the front, 8 pages in Hampton Roads. We created an 18-page section that got all of the news that was in the 20-page paper into the 18-page. How did we do that? Well, on that particular day, the 8-page Hampton Roads section had 2 stories that we didn't plan to publish, but we had more space than we needed. Okay, so you know, we were hamstrung because we had 2 sections. When we combined it, we were able to eliminate that, what we would call wasted space, if you will, mm-hmm. and put all the news that we wanted to publish in the 1-section paper in 2 fewer pages, and we didn't eliminate anything except for the op-ed page.
Right.
And as I explained in my column, the op-ed page is gone, but that's simply a page of newsprint. All of the content won't be lost. Some of it will, except that we can also publish it online. So, you know, we have to move.
And so you're moving some of that around a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you notice today, Leonard Pitts was on page 2. So I have a spot on the top of page two where Roger Chesley and Kerry Dougherty will appear 6 days a week. On that seventh day, we'll put an op-ed column onto page two. So that's 76 days a year. We'll get one of those columns back. We have an online operation. We can publish columns online. So we're going to try to do that. So we're going to try as hard as we can to publish everything we would have published in the print edition, except that some of it will be in print, some of it will be in digital. And that's
the new modern world order, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes past the hour, and we're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Wondering if you've seen these changes, which debuted this morning, and what you think about it. We're also wondering how you consume news these days. That seems to really break along generational lines. And so we're interested in that issue today at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. One of the comments we posted that we were doing this show today, and one of the comments we received is this one. One listener wrote, speculating, is this the beginning of the end of the printed daily newspaper? Next thing to go might be Monday and Tuesday because they are the slowest and smallest editions.
No, absolutely not. There are newspaper companies that are eliminating some days of delivery, but what we're doing is trying to prevent that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make sure that we can continue to publish every day, manage the expenses, and not eliminate a day of coverage. That would be we believe that would be stupid. Mm-hmm. Other newspaper companies have their reasons. That I'm sure they're good reasons, but we don't think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, Kathy, I'll just weigh in on that as well. I get that question a lot in the community because people see that other metropolitan areas around the country have done that. Places like New Orleans and Portland and Cleveland that were good newspaper markets. And people say, do you have plans to do that? And just tell them unabashedly, no, we have no plans to do that. We think it's very important to publish a newspaper 7 days a week.
And you think this business model will get you there and keep you there?
We do believe it will. We think we need to make some adjustments, mm-hmm. and this is an example of that. So can we keep doing it the way we've always done it? No. So that's why we will have to look for ways to be more efficient while still delivering what our readers and our advertisers tell us is most important to them.
Yeah. What does your research tell you about who's reading the pilot and what editions they're reading? I just got an iPad and have downloaded the Evening Pilot, which mm-hmm. I just have to say, if you are a photography fan, you need to download that thing because the photography in that Evening Pilot app just is unbelievable.
It is. We are really proud of the Evening Pilot app, which publishes each evening of the week four unique stories specific exclusively to the tablet platform. And what they do is they take advantage of what is the best of a tablet, which is really the graphic interface and the presentation of photo and design. And those have always been hallmarks.
And of course, the Pilot has award-winning
hallmarks of the Virginian Pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think we realize. Sometimes it is easy to have a little bit of an inferiority complex in any community. And I tell you, we have so much to be proud of here. And among the things about which we should be most proud is the, I would say, national, certainly, maybe international caliber of our photographic staff.
Absolutely.
At the Pilot. Appreciate you saying that.
Award winners. Yep.
I'd put my photo staff up against any in the country, in the world.
Dawn wants to talk about that, in fact, from Chesapeake. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Well, yes, that just leads into my thing. I consider very too much space contributed, given to. I have so many things to say. Excuse me. Let me.
That's okay, Dawn. Okay. Take your time. I have that issue every single day of my life. I can relate. Yes.
Okay. Well, when I get my newspaper, I'm looking for print.
Okay.
I'm looking for news. I have been reading the newspapers for more than 75 years, and I feel myself that I'm make people aware who do not. Mm. So many seniors do not subscribe any longer because of various things. But I believe that we want, for example, and I won't belabor all these. One example is food recalls are always put back in the business section. Now, so many people don't look at the business section, although I read every word of this paper.
Interesting.
And that needs to be up front. I go to my senior citizens group and tell them, if you have this product, you're home, and I cut out the clipping and take along.
That's a really interesting point, Dawn. I really appreciate that. And boy, I tell you, you are in that age group that loves the print edition, that's grown up with the print edition, that loves and appreciates it. And I think Dawn's call really sets up, in some respects, what the challenge is for you all. She's not wild about the pictures, so many pictures,
mm-hmm.
But yet you have a younger generation that loves the idea of stories being told in pictures.
Yeah, I think our culture has become much, much more visual the past 20, 30, 40 years. It's very visual. So, and our readers love our photography.
Yeah.
So, and photography is content. It's news.
So it's a different way of thinking about it.
It's just a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued too, because she talked about, and I never thought about that, about the food recall stories. That's
an interesting point, because coincidentally, we had a page today called Context. Uh-huh. It was about the auto recalls. In 2 weeks, our next Context page is going to be about food recalls. We planned that about a week ago.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really helpful bit of commentary. And I know you ran these changes past readers groups and survey groups as well. So you do quite a lot of that anyway.
We do. Yeah. We survey our readers on a regular basis. For these changes, we had 6 separate focus groups where we brought people into the Virginian Pilot headquarters to get feedback on the changes. And we also did a survey of 509 of our readers. And we basically solicited their feedback as we considered these changes and then previewed them.
And what was the gist of the feedback so far?
The gist of the feedback was overwhelmingly positive, which is, hey, understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because what we said is we have 3 really big objectives. One is that, yes, we do want to decrease our newsprint or paper expenses, but we also want to preserve our local news coverage, which our readers have told us is most important to them. And third was, we want to have an attractive marketplace for our advertisers. And those advertisers increasingly want to be in a front section. So what we heard from our readers, both in the focus groups and online in our survey, was, this is fine. Actually, we understand this, but very importantly, please keep publishing the newspaper.
Yeah.
There was just
7
there,
days.
There
yeah.
was a fear
mm-hmm. yeah.
that as we talked about a significant change, that we were going to be
You also get some color advantages
decreasing.
In this too,
we
don't
do.
You?
Yes. Yeah. We do. More color, color on page 3 every day, and color on the business page every day. Every single day, unless we have what we call a spadia. That's the half page that covers the front of the front
Got
page.
It.
That's rare. So we'll have more color positions and some anchored color positions. Much better for the reader, much better for the advertiser.
And one thing we get to do is, what we're describing it is, we're moving local forward. So when we do survey our readers, as we were just talking mm-hmm. about, and not only the groups that we just did, but we survey regularly, what our readers tell us is local news is most important to us. But we still want national, we
sure.
still want international news, we still want sports mm-hmm. in our daily newspaper, but what we have to have
yes.
is comprehensive, in-depth, investigative, local news. And what we're doing with this change is we're bringing all of that forward. So fronts are locally focused, the cover of the Virginian Pilot, and then right after that, you go straight into local news. So now it's sectioned local, nation and world, business, opinion.
Obits.
Obits.
Yeah. Business
Obits, opinion.
Critically important.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're not in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 24 minutes past the hour, and it's 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Wondering what you think about the changes that debuted this morning in the pages of the Virginian Pilot. And generally speaking, we're wondering how you consume media. It was very nice to hear from our first caller who said, look, you know, I'm a print person. I've spent 75 years reading a newspaper. But we know there are other folks who are also doing a combination of reading the print edition and online, and some who've gone strictly to online. So we want to hear how you're finding out what you know about your world at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Wayne's on the line from Portsmouth. Hi, Wayne. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Okay, here's my question. I'm going to preface this because myself and two Hampton University colleagues did a piece at EMP last year on
editor and publisher. Sorry, yes, I just want to clarify. Editor and publisher.
Right. Okay, so my question is this. I noticed this on a regular as a Virginia Pilot reader and with other newspapers. We've become used to seeing about a 1/8 page size ad on the lower right corner of the front page and the section front. And the publisher mentioned this in his column yesterday, explaining these new changes. The question I'd have is, you know, those of us 20th century journalists remember the clear wall of separation between advertising and news content. You know, publishers used to have, wouldn't even let the journalists work on the same floor with the advertising department. That's been famously known. Now that there's this new 21st century reality, has the wall been breached, or at least do we have the camel doing more than peeking its nose through the tent?
Yeah.
How is the publisher and the editor dealing with advertisers? Are they starting to put the muscle on
yeah.
you to make demand That's on what they want, or can you keep that clear wall of separation?
I really appreciate the question, Wayne, and thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. I'm not going to further identify you unless you give me permission to do so. 26 minutes past the hour, but Wayne is very knowledgeable on this issue. Do I have your permission?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Wayne, I believe Wayne is a journalism professor at Hampton University. Am I right?
Yes, I'm an associate professor, and my last newspaper stop was the Daily Press, where I worked for 5 years.
Yes.
I care about this a lot. Last week, with the challenges papers have had, the Courier Journal of Louisville, which is one of the super regionals, like the Virginian Pilot, let go its managing editor and metro editor.
Mm.
So this time they came for the upper management because they had to cut that. So I know, but newspapers are leveling off because we had this violent transformation.
Right.
But you're still dealing with issues like the new rollout.
Sure. It's a very interesting question, too, about this traditional separation between editorial and advertising.
Yeah, Wayne, this is Dave Mealy. I'm the publisher, and then I'm sure Dennis is going to weigh in as well. That wall and that separation is as strong as it has ever been. So that wall exists today, and we believe that wall is very, very important because that wall helps us establish trust and credibility with our readers. So we are not breaching that wall, and we have no plans to. Now, you did mention the presence of front page ads, and in our way of thinking, that is not a breach of the wall in any way. We have ads next to journalism throughout the newspaper. So I just want to let our readers know and let you know, Wayne, that having that ad and that content adjacent does not suggest or indicate a breach of that wall. That wall is still very, very important to us and our journalistic integrity and will remain very much intact.
Wayne, thank you. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, Wayne, hi. This is Dennis Finley. I can tell you that in 9 years, I've never been muscled by the publisher or an advertiser to write a story a certain way, to not write a story. There have been times when we've published stories that have made my publisher mad, but there were stories that had to be published and had to be done, and our job is to make them as fair and as balanced as possible. We try to do that. I think we're successful. So I don't have a problem with front page ads either. I mean, we advertise on every other page in the paper. The front page was always kind of sacred ground, and we wrestled with it a couple of years ago when we decided to put front page ads in the newspaper, but it hasn't made a difference in terms of our independence. It hasn't made one shred of difference.
That Professor Wayne Dawkins, as he said, is at Hampton University at the Scripps Howard School of Journalism and Communications, and he worked as associate editor of the Daily Press from 1998 to 2003. He's an amazing writer. Also has produced some very interesting work on the Voting Rights Act and a project called Eyes on the Prize, which was a new media project as well. I always enjoy his work, and I thank you, Wayne, for letting me more fully identify you. I don't like to do that unless people give you the heads up on that. So thanks so much for that. We're going to take a quick break right now and head on over to Pledge Central, and we'll be back to continue the conversation with the publisher of the Virginian Pilot and the editor of the Virginian Pilot on the other side of this quick check-in with Pledge Central.
And a good afternoon to you. Good Monday afternoon to you. I'm Anthony McSpadden. I'm the Director of Programming here at WHRB, and I'm with Anne-Marie Millar from the Mariners Museum up on the peninsula. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be here.
And we've got volunteers here from the Mariners Museum. They're here answering your calls of support during this five-minute break. 889-9476 is the number to call. You know, sometimes the news is the news, and we're hearing today about changes at the Virginia Pilot. And I have to ask you, if you're listening to this right now, where else are you going to hear this? You're really not going to hear this anywhere else. You will hear it on Hearsay with Kathy Lewis. This show's been with us since October of 1996. Kathy's a wonderful human being. I just love her to death. She comes in and you know, every day, Monday through Thursday, and does Hearsay. It's a great show to listen to. You hear your neighbors and your community members here around Hampton Roads calling in with questions, maybe about food when Patrick Evans Hilton is on, or if Phyllis Newman comes in to talk about your pets. Jim Orban takes you into the garden. Whatever the subject is, though, Kathy always does a great job of covering it and covering angles that you might not even think about. We want to hear from you today. If you support Hearsay, we're at $13,908 raised so far this day. We're up to the afternoon portion now. Another couple of calls, we could get over $14,000, and we really do want to hear from you. If you're a Hearsay listener, call us at 889-9476 or 800-940-7170. You may be listening at your desk, streaming us online. If you're doing that, you can pledge online at whrv.org.
And I would like to just put out a big thank you to Kathy Lewis and her show, because at the Mariners Museum, we have a wonderful lecture series, and quite often she invites the people who are going to be doing the lectures to come on her program. And it's kind of a chance to see a glimpse into what they're going to be talking about, but also to be able to talk to them instead of just listening to them lecturing that night.
Yeah, and it makes for interesting programming, because then you get really sort of a preview of what's going to be happening.
Exactly.
889-9476. You heard that ping just a second ago. That is someone who has pledged online. We've got our studio set up so that when someone pledges online through our website, we hear it here in the studio. We came up with that because we thought, well, if someone's pledging online, there's no way to really know that that happens.
Right.
So we came up with that ping. That's what that ping is. We love to hear that just as much as we love to hear the phones ring. 889-9476, 800-940-7170. Basic membership here to WHRV is $48 a year. That's just $4 a month. We have membership levels going up all the way to Leadership Circle, which is a very special membership level here. It's $1,200 a year or $100 a month. Also want to remind you that if you're pledging online, you're entered into a drawing to win a really nice grill, which is kind of a combo gas and charcoal grill, along with a couple of comfortable chairs to sit in. However you get your pledge of support in, it's important that you do so. 889-9476, 800-940-7170, and as we just said, online at whrv.org.
Right, and this is a great time to support what you love, and I have to admit that I love WHRV. I would not be able to get up in the morning without listening to the news that I've missed over the evening, and also hearing the traffic reports and everything, and then, of course, Kathy's show at the noontime. So please call us and show us that you love us. Love the station, that you love the programming that it's on. And you can do that at 889-9476 or 1-800-940-7170.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think the traffic reports alone would be worth your support.
Oh, definitely.
Because the traffic around here does get pretty intense, and we keep you up to date as best we can. Sandra Woodward does an incredible job with the traffic in the morning. She's got that down to an art. As far as reporting on traffic. But, you know, if you're a Hearsay listener and you've called into the show and have been a guest on Hearsay, Kathy's taken your questions. Have you called in? Have you become a member to WHRV? If you've been able to get through on Hearsay, I know sometimes you call and the line's busy and you keep persevering, you keep trying to get through. If you're one of those people, we would love to hear from you today. Call us up and tell our volunteer that you have been a guest on Hearsay and you love Hearsay. Support what you love. That's what our message is during this this shortened pledge drive. 889-9476, 1-800-940-7170. And, of course, online at whrv.org. But that caller is maybe someone who has called in and spoken to Kathy herself. We're going back to hearsay. One more time, the phone number is 889-9476 and 800-940-7170. And now enjoy the rest of hearsay for today.
Terrific opportunity for you today to talk to Dave Mealy, the publisher of the Virginian Pilot, and Dennis Finley, who is the editor of the Virginian Pilot. We're talking about changes that debuted this morning, your home delivery edition of the Pilot, and also changes that have been coming over time and changes in the business in general. This is a business whose model has really undergone explosive, destructive, what do they call that? Creative destruction?
Disruptive.
That's
change.
What it is. Mm-hmm. You all have been disrupted. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? Yeah. 25 minutes before the hour, and thank you for holding through the break. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Steve's on the line now from Pocosin. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. And thanks, gentlemen, for such a fine paper and particularly for your resolve to continue publishing 7 days. Two quick questions. First, is there any chance that you'll be expanding home delivery? I live in Pocosin where I can only get you online. And second, is there any chance that you will save modern civilization by modeling your online forum after Don Luzzatto's no anonymity policy?
Boy, I tell you, it's funny you mentioned that, Steve. It's very funny that you mentioned that issue of comments. We were talking, I'm going to freely confess that we were not listening to the pledge break, and I apologize about that, Anthony. I'll probably get in trouble for that after the show, but we were talking about this question of anonymity in the online comments, so we'll talk about that. But let's deal first with Steve's question. It's a very good one about the possibility of expanding home delivery, and this we get all the time because we live in this crazy unified broadcast market, but a separate paper market.
Yes, Steve, this is Dave Mealy, the publisher. I will say we get this request a lot, which is flattering on one hand, and we appreciate it. And on the other hand, it's difficult to execute from a business standpoint because for us to distribute on the peninsula, so over in Hampton, Newport News, Pocosin, as you mentioned, we would most likely want to include more coverage of the peninsula. So that would require an investment in journalists to cover the peninsula. And then there's the additional expense of the actual delivery and the increased distribution of paper, et cetera. What we have found is that the math, unfortunately, does not work very well for that equation, that it would be difficult for us to be profitable in doing that. So to directly answer your question now, after that little background, we do not have plans to extend home delivery on the peninsula at this point.
I've heard this time and time again. I don't want to get both of you to comment on this, but there are these people who say, look, we've got a paper on the peninsula, the very excellent Daily Press. We have the excellent Virginian Pilot. Why don't we put these guys together? And that solves your problem of people over on the other side of the water. I get some people, probably you don't need two editors. I get all that. But I think people have talked about that possibility, mm-hmm. and thought, wouldn't that be a great thing for this region? Because then you'd have people like Steve on the coast, and so many do, works on one side, lives on the other. Then we'd have a regional, truly regional newspaper.
Yeah, we would. It would be interesting to do that.
I know
a lot of our national
wand
advertisers
kind of
would love to have that because they have to deal with each of us individually to reach the combined Hampton Roads market. The trouble is often 1 + 1 = 2 when you put the businesses together from a revenue standpoint. Mm. So you could end up with a 1 + 1 = 1.4 or 1.5, and then you have the question is, did you save enough in expenses for that to be profitable?
Sure, for it to work.
And my guess is on both sides of that equation, both parties, I'm sure, no doubt, have looked at that and I think have come to a similar conclusion.
20 minutes before the hour. So the first question that Steve asked had to do, or the second question, I don't know if it was the first or the second, the other excellent question Steve asked had to do with this this anonymity in commenting on news stories. And I've said it before on this broadcast, man, I'm going to tell you what, you sort of in a figurative way, take your life in your hands when you go into these online comment sections because they can be really brutal.
I wouldn't call them. They're pits. Sometimes, you know, you enter the belly of the beast. Well, sometimes going in and making a comment. There's two sides. I mean, I've always been in favor of as much as possible.
Absolutely.
Free flow of information. That's what we stand for. But on the other hand, we publish stuff online in the way of form of comments that we would not publish in the newspaper. So where do you draw the line? Where are the standards? I think the standards should be heightened. They should be higher. And we are going to change the way we do our commenting.
Really?
It won't be exactly like Don has done. Won't mm-hmm. be verified. Give us a credit card. Let us see exactly who you are. But we are going to move to a format where you will have a name. Through Facebook or Twitter or some other form of social media. Dave can
that
talk.
People will already know you by that name, so
yes,
that's the name
yes.
that you would
it
use.
It won't be pure anonymity.
Yeah.
And
got
that's
it.
That's where we get into trouble. That's where the conversation becomes very crude and really doesn't advance the conversation at all.
And we should note, the credit card, let me just clarify that, when to be a verified poster, you give your credit card, but you don't get charged
You don't get charged anything.
It's just
to verify that you are who you say you are.
Yeah, we
agree that we have issues with comments on a regular basis, and in many ways it's getting worse, not better. And so what we'll be doing, and we're phasing it in essentially starting now or starting over the last couple of years, as we began with verified comments. And as you'll notice on certain stories, we will turn verified comments on because the conversation has reached a point where it is so bad that we will just switch to verified comments. Sometimes we just turn comments off completely mm-hmm. because the discussion has really just devolved so poorly. But what we'll be doing, if we think about Pilot Online, Pilot Online is now 21 years old. So last year was Pilot Online's 20th anniversary.
Wow.
And the commenting predates social media. And what has happened with social media is people are just much more comfortable sharing under their actual identity, under a real name or something close to it.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll have a system that will allow people to use a social media login to participate.
Yeah.
So a Facebook login, a Twitter login, something like that. And I do believe we have the benefit of the social media habit and usage that people are much more comfortable now.
I think that's a really interesting idea too, because people are also, people are also sort of their own mini content producers too, right? So mm-hmm. if you're doing all of this content producing in other spaces, you probably aren't going to be uncomfortable with claiming that in these, you shouldn't be uncomfortable claiming
shouldn't
it in these online
right,
spaces.
That's right.
And maybe
yeah.
that cleans it up a little bit.
I hope
you
so.
Know, we hope.
I do too. I was telling our guests this during the pledge break that, for a long, long time, I would never comment in those spaces because it was just so hurtful to be in the space and to sort of watch the level of discourse. And I love conversation that either advances your understanding of a story, explores it more, brings in a different, you don't have to change your mind, just at least open your mind to another idea or a different idea or an expansion of an idea. So I was really blue about that for a long time. Then I thought, you know, those of us who believe passionately in the gift of civil discourse and the opportunity for that to change things have to get into that space. We have to get into that space and we have to model what we think is a better way to do things in a professional, appropriate, appreciative way. I really believe strongly we have to get in there and model what we want to see. And if we do that over time with some other advances like the ones we're describing today, you know, maybe we elevate this thing a little bit. I don't know. Kevin's on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm actually a working television journalist, to
okay.
be up front, but having worked in the market a number of years and actually worked for Channel 3 when Landmark owned it a number of years ago, I've seen a disturbing drift towards the tabloid and unverified people, anybody claiming to be a journalist, quote-unquote, or running supposed news stories, particularly on the internet and such, and being that journalism over the years as a career seems to be more and more, despised by the general public, if there might be an industry-wide move or ideas, if you have ideas on how the industry in general can prove our legitimacy as opposed to anybody who can throw up a website and make up, you know, any story, any information, and claim to be doing news. And also, just as a quick statement, I think we've always done a very poor job of explaining to the public the rules and the integrity and that we work by. And maybe that would help if we did something like that.
Kevin, I appreciate your call, and it's nice to hear from you. I can remember Kevin back in the day. But I think Kevin's got a great point here. You know, with the advent of the internet, anybody can set up a website, mm-hmm. and then
you can have a publication tomorrow.
Indeed, so. Yeah. Indeed, so. Yeah. So, what about his question about how the business is dealing with that issue of so much competition and communicating those levels of ethics and integrity?
Well, I mean, first of all, I hope the proof is in the pudding. You can read hundreds and hundreds of blogs, publications, et cetera, online, and you can decide, you know what's true and what's not true. And if you don't, it'll eventually come out. So the only thing we can do, I can't control how many people open up a website, open a news site, open a blog. I can control what goes in the Virginia Pilot. And we work really hard to make sure that it's credible, that it's accurate, that it's fair, that it's balanced. And I don't know what else I can do other than to do that every single day and hope that our readers and the community understands that what they're getting from the Pilot is the truth.
Well, several years ago, I was thinking about this, when Kevin was talking about this, that, you know, several years ago, I know the Pilot had one as well, but several years ago, there were a lot of ombudsmen at newspapers mm-hmm. across the country mm-hmm. sort of representing the reader in that mm-hmm. that process. And many of those have gone away as a casualty of the changing in the business model. Mm-hmm. But long before that, and Kevin's point about television news, you know, there was a nascent proposal by Wallace, by Mike Wallace and others at the time. That's how you know it's live, because the names don't always necessarily come when they're supposed to. But Mike Wallace was talking about the idea of essentially a council that would serve the same function for television news. And it never took off. It just never, ever got off the ground. But I think about that and these kinds of things that have gone away in this new world order that would help support what Kevin's talking about. Because if you do have a third party looking in to say, you know, the reporter was right in this case, the reader was right in this case, yes, this person was wronged, or, you know, that person had mm-hmm. a point of view that didn't get accurately mm-hmm. expressed, that's at least some sort of window in from an objective third party.
We still have a window in. It's not, maybe it's not as easy when we had the ombudsman who worked mm-hmm. full-time writing a column every week and talking to readers, but my phone number and email is in the paper every day. Maria Carrillo, the managing editor, her phone number and email are in the paper every day. And I can be reached either through contact the editor or just a phone call.
How is that? I've always wondered about that, because that's the fact for all the Pilot staffers, mm-hmm. I think, is that all of their emails and phone numbers are mm-hmm. listed.
Most of them are listed, and we welcome the calls. If we make a mistake, we're going to correct it immediately. And I've gotten phone calls from readers who say, this was wrong. This is inaccurate, and we'll check it, make sure. And if it's wrong, we correct it. We're not afraid to say we made a mistake. We publish. The amazing thing about a newspaper to me is it starts at zero every morning. There's nothing, and it comes out every single day. It's easy to make a mistake. I'm amazed we don't make more. Mm-hmm. And we don't make many. But when we make them, we'll correct them.
So Dave writes on our Facebook page, the paper has laid off so many people in the last several years. The quality, he says, is just not there anymore. So, and we do hear this in the community from people who are concerned about mm-hmm. the numbers of layoffs, and some excellent writers and researchers and folks who've done lovely investigative work who have unfortunately been laid off in recent years. And I know, Dennis, that cannot be a great day for you to have
to do
that.
They're among the worst days of my life when I've had to tell somebody, we have eliminated your job. I would dispute the quality. I'd say for sure the quantity is not there. We're smaller than we used to be. We have fewer journalists out in the field. So there are things that we don't get to. For example, I don't have a religion reporter anymore. I used to have a reporter devoted 40 hours a week to covering religion. I used to have a higher education reporter. I don't have one anymore. Yeah. That doesn't mean we don't cover those things, but we've incorporated it into other beats.
And, you know, you think about that, because I heard somebody said, well, we really don't need a religion reporter. I'm thinking to myself, you know, this region is the birthplace of one of the most influential religious organizations that has had a role in American politics and religious life here in America and throughout the world, and that's the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Yeah.
Think what you will. It's a very powerful, very influential organization. So why would you not have some? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there are lots of things that sort of come under that heading, and any heading, higher education. Look at the number of colleges and universities we have.
We cover them.
Yeah.
But one thing we do is we ask readers what is most important to you. And religion coverage actually finished very low on our list of things that were important for our readers. So, I mean, that's how that informs our decisions. We still cover it. We still cover higher education. We just do it as part of another beat. So we've had, that's been the challenge, to figure out how to consolidate some of the beats, how to combine beats, how to combine some of the city coverage. And so the reader is absolutely correct. The quantity is not there, but I would argue that the quality is there.
Dennis Finley has written extensively about these changes there, that it, those changes you can find online as well as in today's edition of the paper, because there's some others that will relate to specific city editions that you will probably want to check out as well. So if we were to look ahead, boy, that I imagine if you got this question right, you'd, you'd be in the world global headquarters of some major publication. But if you look ahead 5 years, what is going to shape this industry? And if you had a crystal ball, what do you think we might be looking at when it comes to what we now call daily newspaper journalism?
Well, we certainly, we talk about ourselves within our company and within our journalism news department. We do not talk about ourselves as a newspaper. So we publish the largest and the best newspaper in the state of Virginia, and that's verified by the Virginia Press Association on the best side. But we are the largest circulation newspaper in the state. And so, but we do not identify ourselves as a newspaper company. We identify ourselves as a media company. So what we are doing on a daily basis right now will continue. And I think 5 years from now, it's going to look like this, which is we will be covering and reporting on this community extensively, in depth, and then distributing that on multiple platforms. Mm. And the reach on each of those platforms is likely to change. If you view them in a pie chart and each platform is a slice, what I think you'll see is the print slice will get smaller, the tablet slice will get bigger, the PC or desktop slice might actually get smaller, and the phone slice will get really big. And so we see where growth is going is increasingly on a tablet platform or to a mobile phone, a smartphone. And so we know that. We see that happening right now, and we're programming to that already. So I think 5 years from now, that's what we'll see, is we'll see a continued shift there. But will we still have a daily newspaper? I believe we will. What I get a lot in the community is people will come up to me and say, I have to tell you, I'm a dinosaur. I still read the newspaper. And what I say is, well, first, thank you for reading. But second is, you have a lot of company.
Yeah.
So on a daily basis, we have nearly 300,000 readers reading the newspaper on an average weekday. And it's 297,000 is the number.
And there's stuff you're going to get in the print edition that you're not going to get in other places, too.
Yeah, that's more than a third of every adult in Hampton Roads. On a Sunday, we have 430,000 readers in Southampton Roads, which is more than half of all adults.
Wow.
So the reach is still massive. We're talking 300,000 a day, 430,000 on a Sunday. In a week, you have more than 60% of every adult in Hampton Roads reading the Virginian Pilot. 60%.
Wow. Carl's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Carl. You're on the air, and we're going to have to make it quick today.
Sure. Thank you. And interesting as usual.
Thank you.
I just heard the comment that we don't have staff and we're having financial problems. Wondered about, and I know this is a touchy area, wondered about using interns under a department called From the Other Side. where journalist students, English students, the colleges and so forth could collaborate, cover those issues, have those folk who are on staff and seasoned kind of look over them. It covers and meets the needs of that population that asks for it, and it builds and gives you future employees.
Carl, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. So more expansive use of interns.
Could I just address, there was an intro to that which said that we don't have staff and we're having financial problems, and I do just want to course correct that, which is we have the largest news gathering staff in the entire state of Virginia. From any television, radio, or newspaper-based media company, we have the largest group of journalists in the state at the Virginian Pilot. So is our staff smaller than it was several years ago? Yes, we still have a large, high-quality journalism staff. Second is the financial problems. We have changing business conditions, so we're adjusting to those. We are a healthy, profitable company.
Not restricted to the Virginian Pilot.
So I just wanted to just set the record straight on those. Use of interns, we do employ interns. And we think interns it's a two-way street. It's a great way for us to contribute to the continued education of someone, a student or a recent graduate. So that's a give on our part. But we also get the chance to audition future employees and to help develop future journalists who may go work in other markets. So we believe in interns, and we employ interns every year in our company.
Producer sitting in our chair came out of our intern program right there. Yes,
I was an intern at the Virginian Pilot.
Seriously?
Yes, I was. 1986.
Wow. And now you're that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really impressive. So quick question before we wrap up, because I'm just thinking about business models and where we go with this. You see so many more, we are told content is king, and you know that this is the way the world is evolving. Do you see a time evolving where writers, content creators are going to basically be little mini corporations on their own and sort of hire themselves out more? In other words, are we going to be in a more freelancy kind of environment than full-time employees for newspapers? I mean, that kind of brings its whole separate set of issues, though, doesn't it?
I think that the whole industry is already moving that way. Will we not have a staff? I don't see a day when we won't have a staff, but I think that we have to be able to use freelancers more frequently than we did in the past because we've gotten smaller.
I just wonder about that.
Well, the biggest, I can tell you a big example is National Geographic used to have a gigantic staff of photographers. I don't think they have a staff anymore. It's all contract work.
Wow.
And that is an industry-wide change. That's just one example, but I think that we plan to have a staff for a long time, but I think we will use freelancers more often than we have in the past because we want to make sure we're covering the entire area.
It's a great point. Okay, I was just taking a look at a last minute question that came in over the transom from my friend David, and his concern is about some, I think we need to take that another day. David, I appreciate it. I'm going to leave it
the
on our Facebook
yes.
page. Yes, qualified.
We're willing to try a quick answer if you want to fire it at us.
It's actually about the radio business. So, and it's sort of a more loaded, a bigger question. David, we'll come back and talk about that another day because he wants to know about the impact of talk radio. And of course, that is a wide spectrum of experience, as you know, if you've visited elsewhere on the dial. And so he wants to know about what that's meant in terms of media credibility. And so that's probably a bigger issue for another day since we have 20 seconds left. Well, we cannot expand and contract this show like they can the daily newspaper. We're an hour, whether we got an hour or not, friends. And sometimes we have more than an hour, which is probably the truth today. Dave Mealy, thank you so much for being with us. It's
thank
a pleasure.
You,
and Dennis Finley, thank you for being with
You're
us
welcome.
As well.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kathy.
Pilotonline.com is the website, but even better is to get the Virginian Pilot delivered to your home every morning. Thanks so very much for being with us today, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.